just at this stage, I might say how sorry we are that we cannot accommodate all the hundreds of people who are still outside the building and outside in the tents inside. But we do welcome you all to our opening services today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and Head of the Church. I'm going to ask you now to stand again to your feet. The Reverend James Baggs, my associate, is going to lead us in the opening prayer. Let us stand for prayer, please.
Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our loving eternal Heavenly Father, we bow this afternoon in thy holy and sacred presence in the Savior's worthy and precious name. We thank thee for that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow,
amen,
and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We approach thee this evening in no merit or righteousness of our own, but we come through the merit of Jesus Christ and through his own precious blood. Amen. We praise thee for this privilege of gathering here on this great occasion. We thank thee for thy sparing hand that has brought us safely to this hour, and we come with praise and with thanksgiving into the courts of the Lord's house. We rejoice, our God, in all that thou hast done for us, and we lift our hearts today in praise and in adoration to the great God of our salvation.
Amen.
We thank thee, our God, that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for every time that thou hast heard our cry in the past, and that thou hast answered prayer. We thank thee for all that thou hast been to this congregation and to this church in days gone by. We can indeed raise our Ebenezer unto the Lord and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We praise the Lord for all the way that thou hast led each one of us. And here we are today at the opening of this great building to praise and to magnify thy name. O God, receive our thanks for all that thou hast done. And O God, we pray today that thou wilt bless this congregation, and bless its pastor, and bless its people, and grant that our God in the days to come, there might indeed be the sound of abundance of rain.
Amen.
We pray, our God, today that thou wilt come in all thy fullness, and in all thy power upon our hearts. O God, we pray that we may see the culmination of all our prayers, and of our thoughts in days gone by, in that thou would send us a great and mighty revival.
Amen.
And a breath from heaven even today. We pray, our God, that thou wilt indeed just touch every heart. Amen. Grant that the blood of Christ may prevail, that the power of God may be real, and that our God, as we this day open this church for the preaching of the word of God and to the glory of God, that the fire may fall from heaven.
Amen.
And the glory of the Lord fill this place. May the Shekinah glory be real this evening, and may every heart be touched by thy presence and by thy power. We pray, our God, in the days to come, that this church may go on from strength to strength, that, Lord, that pastor and people may know the touch of God, and may see, our God, great things done in this house, to the glory of the Savior's name. Bless us now this afternoon. Pour thy Spirit out upon this service. Bless thy two servants who will minister the word of God. Endue them with power from on high.
Amen.
And grant that our God a work may be wrought this afternoon, that will last the test of time and of eternity. O God, we pray that thou wilt destroy the works of darkness.
Yes.
Magnify thy name. Glorify thy Son. Honor thy word. Bless thy people. And save the lost. And we will be careful to give thee the praise and the glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody said.
Amen.
At this stage in our meeting, we would like to recognize some of our visitors who have come to be present with us at the opening of our new church, and to join hands with us, the great fellowship of the preaching of the gospel of sovereign grace, and in contending earnestly for the faith, once and for all delivered to the saints. It's not possible for me to know all the visitors from across the water, but some of them are with us, and we're giving a word of recognition to each one of them. And we're going to ask them when their name is called to stand so that they will be recognized. We're giving pride of place in our welcome to Dr. Zukerlich from Yugoslavia. Most of his friends fell during the Catholic Terror. From Yugoslavia, we move to John Knox's country, and we have the Reverend Jack Glass. Jack, have you lost Peggy? Where is Peggy? She's somewhere. Stand up, Peggy. God bless you. And we're very glad, too, to have the General Secretary of the British Council of Protestant Christian Churches, which is an affiliate of the International Council of Christian Churches. To both these councils, our church is affiliated. The Reverend Brian Green. And then we are delighted also to have with us Dr. Eric Gurr, who is the minister of the Cathedral of Nonconformity in England, the famous Melbourne Hall, made famous by the ministry. Dr. Gurr's business manager of the church is with him. Did he stand with him? Are you there somewhere? There's only one thing wrong with this pulpit. I can't see over the sides too well to see what's really happening. We are also delighted to have with us from Hebbington, the famous place where Brown of the famous Bible exercised his ministry, in the person of a graduate of Bob Jones University, the Reverend David Straw. David, are you here? Very glad, too, to have two men who have made an impact for Protestantism politically in their respective cities. We're delighted to have ex-Bailey John Cormack from Edinburgh. Where is our brother John? Where are you? God bless you. Hardly recognized you there, John, didn't the way. And then we have the successor to Alderman Longbottom, who was Liverpool's great Protestant champion, and his mantle has fallen, and Councillor Ronnie Henderson. And where's all the Liverpool? I think, too, we have with us Dr. David Calderwood. Is Dr. Calderwood here? God bless you, Doctor. He's one of the Ulster men that went to America to evangelize the pagans of your country, Dr. Paul. We're very glad to have him with us. I'm sure that we have other people which I don't know about, and I'd like to say a word of welcome to them. People from England and across the water, where are you? Would you stand up till we give you a welcome? God bless you. And then we have all these free Presbyterian ministers. Let's see them all. Including the three jailbirds. They have scratched their wings once again. I'm personally very delighted to have in the pulpit this evening my good father. Come on. My mother is somewhere in the meeting. Where are you? Stand up here. I'm personally very delighted to have here in the pulpit with me my good friend and brother in Christ, the Reverend John Wiley. We're especially delighted that his wife, who has been very ill for some time, is now on the road to recovery, and she too is with us. And the Reverend Wiley is going to read to us the Word of the Living God. Mr. Wiley.
Will you turn with me to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. It's a good way to keep the priests out. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever, when David praised by their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and their house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. And God will bless this reading of his precious word to all our hearts. For Christ's sake. Amen.
We're going to alter the program as set out in the order of service. And we're going to make some announcements at this stage and also come to the offering. I would prefer getting the offering over before I commence preaching. And so we're going, don't put your hands into your handbag yet. It's far too soon. You wouldn't go deep enough at this moment, but when I talk to you, I trust you'll get right down to the bottom. I would like to say that we have received some telegrams and some letters here from our good friends right across the world, and I'd like to bring these telegrams of greetings to you. I'd like to first of all say that we have a telegram from the president of the International Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Carr McIntyre. Dr. McIntyre would have been here, but this day happens to be the day when he has his preparation for his autumn communion service in the Bible Presbyterian Church of Collingswood, New Jersey, USA. And never in his ministry has he ever missed this service in his church. He has always made it a point, no matter where he has been in the world, to be back home for this special service in his own church. And he deeply regrets he hasn't been able to be with us. He has just completed a very successful tour of Africa in the cause of the International Council of Christian Churches. At one of his services, 120 people were gloriously saved as our brother preached the gospel. And he sends this telegram: extend greetings and congratulations in the name of Christ for this glorious occasion. Your victories rejoice God's people in every part of the world, and your testimony is a 20th century witness to the power of the blood. Your slogan